If you have your Bible with you, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter 18, and once you find Proverbs 18, go down till you find verse number 19. So it's Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 19. And once you find it, would you please stand with me this morning? We're going to stand out of reverence and respect to the Word of God. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. Proverbs chapter 18, starting with verse number 19, the Bible says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Look back at me, if you will. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother could be two different things. First of all, I think Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But I've discovered in life, we grow up in life, and though we are close to our blood relatives, there are times in life where we end up with friends that we tend to be even closer to than we do our own brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to minimize the relationship between a blood brother or blood sister. I'm trying to tell you the Bible's telling us here there are friendships in life that are pretty big relationships, to the point where we're not blood in our relationship, but it's a very, very big relationship in life. And today, the opening day of our spring program, it's Friend Day. And I want to talk to you about this subject of friendships. I'm going to pray. I'll ask God to help me as I teach, but part of that is I'd like for God to speak to your heart. Now, we're not all going to pray out loud. That'd get a little confusing. I'll pray out loud, but in the silence of your heart, you ought to pray, and if you can agree with what's being said, ask God to bless like I'll ask Him to bless. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Holy Spirit of God, it would do no good for my personality to try to achieve a supernatural accomplishment, but Father, you could do it. Your Spirit could do it, and there are many different levels of friendship here today. Bless us now with Thy presence. Help us to leave this place being a little more like Jesus, maybe a little less like ourselves. But God, help us to learn from the Bible today about this thing called friendship, please. Help the crowd to be still and quiet. May there not be interruptions. But might we just concentrate on the Bible, please? And if there's anybody here that's never met our greatest friend, Jesus, may they meet Him today, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. That last verse said, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." You know, folks, one of the greatest relationships in life is the relationship that we call friendship. And I think sometimes one of the greatest misunderstood relationships in life is the relationship called friendship. I think one of the most positive spiritual encouragements in life could be a good spiritual friend. Boy, if you've got a friend that loves the Lord and they're sold out to God, boy, can they be an asset in your life. Oh, but on the other hand, If you have friendships with people that do not have an interest in the Lord and do not encourage you to do right, that can be one of the greatest detriments in your life. You've heard the old saying, it'll make you or break you. I think I could say that about friendship. Your friendships, they'll either make you or they'll break you. The world's friendships are not what they're supposed to be. They're not, if you will, spiritual or biblical. The Bible says in James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" And it says, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." And God is saying, first of all, we're not to have a tight friendship with the world. Now, we care about the world and we want the world to be saved, but we're not going to be heavily associated with them because they're not interested in our primary friend, which is Jesus. The concept that you are all very, very familiar with is Facebook. Facebook, you have an opportunity to what you call agree that someone would be your friend on Facebook. Right now, the record holder of friends on Facebook, his name is William Scott Goldberg. He currently has 6,223 friends on Facebook. At least he thinks those are his friends. But so you all know, you say, well, I've got lots of friends on Facebook. You might be shocked that what a friend is and what a friend is not. Just because somebody gave you a thumbs up and decided that you could call them friend, that does not make them a good friend, nor does it make you a good friend to them. We live in an electronic world that has kind of diluted the real connections between people. The guy that used to hold the record, his name was Michael Hibbert. And Michael Hibbert, back a few years ago, had 8,942 friends on Facebook. But he dropped off of Facebook, and so I don't know why. Maybe his friends forsook him, and so he just dropped off. But the record right now is 6,223 friends. Let me tell you this. If you had one true blue, dedicated, sold out to God friend, you'd be ahead of most of this world. Because we do not understand friendship like we're supposed to. I got to thinking about the great friendships of life. I wrote them down. You'll be so pleased with my spiritual perceptions. I thought of Captain Kirk and Spock. Don't laugh. They were friends. You know they were. You've got Long Ranger and Tonto, only to be beat out possibly by Silver the Horse. And there's Skipper and Gilligan, little buddy. And there's Batman and Robin. And then from the Flintstones, you've got Barney and Fred. I was thinking of Andy Griffith and Barney Fife. They were friends. Everybody needs a good friend. And there's Garfield and Odie, Charlie Brown and Snoopy. Friendships are everywhere. They're just everywhere. Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. You say, why do they call him Shaggy? Because he ought to get his hair cut. Looks like a woman. Then there's Calvin and Hobbes. And SpongeBob and Patrick. I understand what SpongeBob is, but I haven't quite figured out exactly what Patrick is. But they're friends. And then there's Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. Tom and Jerry. I think they're friends. I think that's true. And they're you know, the great, you know, the friendships of the Bible, Laverne and Shirley. I was thinking of Gomer and Sergeant Carter. And then the newest friendship that we've seen in our country, Donald and Hillary. There are friendships everywhere. You go through the Bible and you look at the friendships, and wow, in the New Testament, can you imagine being a friend to the Apostle Paul? I think of being a friend to Moses and David and Jonathan of the Old Testament. Lots of friendships in the Bible. A biblical friendship is a gift from God. It's a very, very deep relationship. And I don't know if you realize it, but in the Bible, the friendship relationship has guidelines to it, just like the other relationships of the Bible. When you look in the Bible, there are guidelines for the relationship between the husband and the wife. Let me give you one of those. You do not leave the church property on Wednesday night without taking your wife with you. Brother Steed, one of our deacons, this last Wednesday night, drove home and left his wife here. I don't want to bring it up publicly or anything like that. How am I doing, Nanette? We're putting it to him. She's milking this thing for everything it's worth. I think he got up and fixed her breakfast the next morning. And okay, we'll see what we can get out of this for you. But in your relationships of life, the husband-wife relationship, the Bible, it talks about how to handle the relationship. There are all sorts of guidelines in the Bible about the relationship between parents and their children, and then between leaders and followers and man and God. But you know, I think sometimes we miss it. God would tell you and I how to be properly married and how to be proper parents or proper children and how to be followers and leaders and how to have a relationship with God. And somehow we think that God didn't give instruction on friendship. But he did. And you have to realize something. Satan has always come along and tried to steal or corrupt the pure things of life. That means if there is a right and a scriptural and a godly way to have a friendship, the devil comes along and he creates a counterpart to that. And I'm saddened to think that so many times we get caught into what the devil considers friendship rather than our being concerned with what God considers friendship. Friendship was created by Almighty God. It has guidelines. It has qualifications. It has expectations. And your friendships are not, they're supposed to be maintained according to the creator of the relationship, which is God. So the Bible gives us illustration. The Bible gives us instruction about friendship. You stay with me for a few minutes. It's Friend and Neighbor Day. I want to challenge all of us with this pure and what a wonderful relationship called friendship. I want to give you some things that I think will help us all in regard to friendship. For instance, don't ever forget this. You are to be a friend. You're to be a friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." You know, nowhere in the Bible does it teach that you ought to go try to get friends. That's not what the Bible teaches. You are to be a friend. Folks, did you know that one of the basic concepts of Christianity is sharing? It's not stinginess. To go try to get friends has a stingy element to it. Hey, look, what's supposed to happen is you and I, we are to be a friend. You say, well, then where am I going to get my friends? That'll be God provided. Let God provide your friends. You're to reach out and be a friend to someone. So I don't think that you and I are to go through life doing things for people, hoping to get them as friends. Do you understand there's an insincere, ulterior motive to that? I ought to do what I do for you because I want to be a biblical friend to you. And that God was saying, look, if you're busy being a friend, then God can provide friends for you. And here's where some of you make your mistake. You're out there trying to handpick and get you some friends. You'd be better off letting God handpick your friends. You become a friend and then let God provide your friend. A true biblical friend is brought to you by God, and it is them being obedient to Proverbs 18:24. It said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. God said, if you're going to have the right kind of friends, you need to go become a friend. And you be busy being the kind of friend you're supposed to be, then God will provide you with a friend. I've often said this, and you've sat in these pews any time at all, you've heard me say it. Happy is the man that has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. And the happiest are those that have friends and are friends. But folks, listen, you can't make someone be your friend. And I think what happens is some of you reach out and you try to do things for people just hoping they're going to become your friend. You're going to set yourself up to be disappointed. You're going to set yourself up for heartbreak. Do the thing that is most giving and just do this. Decide you want to be to people the right kind of friend. I will promise you, friends will come into your life, but when you start having expectations of what people are going to do for you, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to get let down. Teenagers, or some of you, I know friendships are very big to you. You're to be the right kind of friend. And you'll go through life and you're going to be an emotional mess all the time. If you're going around trying to get people to be your friend, you have no control over that. You can't make anyone your friend. What you can do is you can be the right kind of friend. Many people are unhappy because they're trying to get instead of trying to be. And folks, one of the basic principles of Christianity is not give me, give me, give me. Basic principle of Christianity is give, give, give. And so if you look at the subject of friendship and you say, well, I'm glad you're talking about this because I want to get a bunch of friends, you've got it all wrong. If you want to be happy, you'll become happy by being a friend, not by hoping to get friends. Because if you say, I'd be happy if I had a bunch of friends, you have no control over that. But if you're happy by giving yourself in friendship, now you can be happy 24/7. I can't make you my friend, but I can make me your friend. And so, friendship is supposed to be something that you and I are working toward for the sake of other people. The Bible teaches us some friendship, if you will, qualifications. The Bible says, and everybody look right this way, the Bible teaches that, first of all, you ought to find friends that love the Lord, friends that are saved. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, folks, if you want the right kinds of friends, find friends that love the Lord, find friends that are born again. You say, why? Because they will have a Bible view on friendship. They will help you to do the Bible thing. So if we're looking for qualifications for friendship, one of the qualifications is get around people that are born again. Get around people that are saved. But not only that, be careful that those Christians that you do make your friends, those that are saved, let's make sure that they, I would use the term, let's make sure that they're not living in the wickedness of the world. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, I don't think that I think the initial part of friendship is make sure your friend is saved. But secondly, it's not just them being saved. They ought to have some desire to love God. They ought to have some desire to please God. It's not just salvation. It's salvation with the desire to love the God that saved them. So I think if you want to find a friend, if you want to be the right kind of a friend, being saved and wanting to serve God with your life is going to make a big difference. I think that friends are supposed to have some idea and desire to obey the Scripture. The Bible says in John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now there is God saying, if you want to be a friend to God, He wants you to obey the Scripture. Now, there's a wonderful example. If God said, now, I want a friendship with you, and I want you to be my friend, now God is telling us, obey the Scripture. So, folks, look for friends that want to be, look for friends that are saved. Look for friends that are not living in the wickedness of the world. Look for friends that want to obey the Bible. They're going to make the right kind of friends. They're going to be the right kind of people. Hey, let me tell you this. I got to thinking about the qualifications of friendship. When I was in high school, I didn't get saved until I was 16 years of age. I had developed some friendships in my life that later on I learned were not real good. I had a very dear friend. He was kind of the school bully. And when I got saved and I realized he was not saved, we really started thinking differently. And he was very different than me. His dad owned a local junkyard, and we would tease and talk about. He was as mean as a junkyard dog. Y'all know what I mean. This guy was mean. And we were friends. I have to tell you, this guy, his temper was totally out of control. And I began to realize that I needed to be careful. He wasn't saved. He was living in a very worldly way. He was not obeying the Bible. And he was an outrageous person in the way that he behaved. And I found a scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25, it says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thyself. I had to realize something. This unsaved friend of mine, he was not only unsaved, he was not only living very worldly, he was not only not interested in the Bible, he was outrageous in his behavior, and he showed no self-control. He had a temper and a rage problem, and I didn't want to become like that. So I let the Scripture be my guide. I realized that this out-of-control friend, I had to separate from him. And I was not mean to him. I presented the gospel to him. But one day, I just had to tell him, I said, listen, I love you, and I will always love you, and I'm for you, but I'm going to be going to church, and I'm going to be living for the Lord, and that's not something that interests you. So I'm not going to be able to spend a bunch of casual time with you anymore. I don't think you and I are interested in the same things. And, you know, he handled it very, very well. He said, you're right. He said, you're going a different direction than I am. He said, I'll be your friend, but he said, I know we're not going to spend a lot of time together. And that was hard for me because he was my friend. But I needed to do what the Bible said. You see, I am to be a friend. That means I've got to be careful what I do with my friendship. And there's some qualifications scripturally that we are to follow when it comes to this relationship that's called friendship. We're to be friends with people that are saved. They should not be worldly. They should be interested in doing what the Bible says. And they should not be out of control. It talks about angry and furious and just no self-control. Now, I think you should, and let me teach you something. Young people, I think this. I think it is wise for two young people. They ought to be friends. And that ought to be the prerequisite or the precursor to marriage. Young people, you meet a young man or you meet a young lady, and then you begin to develop a friendship in your life. And if that friendship is strong and stable, you then enter the marriage arena and you marry your friend. And let me tell every married couple here something. It's time for some married couples to reestablish your friendship to each other. You ought to be friends. You shouldn't just be married. You ought to be friends. And I'll tell you why a lot of marriages drift in their relationship. You know, at first they had an interest in one another. They were courting or they were dating, and they were interested in one another. They got married. They got busy with life, busy with the kids. They began to grow apart. Now it's almost like there's a contractual agreement. You know, we live in the same home, but we're not friends anymore. You don't date anymore. You don't spend time together anymore. You're not interested in one another's interests anymore. So your relationship has become weak. You're still married, but you're not friends. And I happen to believe that friendship is the glue that holds marriage very much so together. And young people, the wise thing is to find someone that you could commit friendship to when you're single and they to you, and then you grow that friendship, and there may come a point when God would say those two friends could become mates and they could get married someday. But I would say the qualifications for friendship is salvation, not a desire to be worldly, a desire to obey the scripture, and someone that controls themselves and they keep themselves under spiritual control. Now, folks, I want to remind all of us of something. Do you know that we are to be a friend to God? We're to be a friend to God. James chapter 2 verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled with saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's a big deal. Here the Bible says that Abraham had such a relationship with God that God said, I've got a friend. His name is Abraham. Let me ask you something. Could God point to you from heaven and say, I've got a friend right there. I've got a friend right there. That person is my friend. Hey, I think a lot of us would probably say, yeah, I think I'm God's friend. Let me take it up a level. Are you God's best friend? Don't you think God needs some people that will rise above the fray of the crowd and, you know, all the religious talk, oh, I love God. And I hear so much that sometimes I get sick of my stomach. Everybody thinks they love God and everybody thinks they're committed to God. I want to know, would God consider you one of his best friends? We're to be a friend to God. You say, how did Abraham do that? I think Abraham did that by faith. You say, faith in what? Faith in the Word of God. Abraham obeyed the Word of God. Abraham had put his faith in the Word of God. And Abraham was more interested in what was good for God than what was good for Abraham. And folks, again, I go back to friendship is not all about me. It's all about the object of my love. And Jeff Owens, if he wants to be a friend to God, Jeff Owens doesn't go around doing what's best for Jeff Owens. Jeff Owens goes around doing what's best for his friend. And if I'm wanting to be a friend to God, then I've got to do what's best for God. Say, but wonder if it costs me. Then if it costs me, it costs me. But I want what's best for God. Because I want to be God's friend. The Bible says in John 15:14, Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're not his friend if you disobey the word of God. To whatever degree you are not obeying the word of God in your life right now, you are diluting your friendship expressions to God. You're not the kind of friend that you ought to be to God if you're not obeying the scripture. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Again, I look at Abraham, and the Bible says that Abraham was a dear friend to God. And now I see Moses. The Bible says that God and Moses spake face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. You and I should not merely take the casual word friend and say, I'm God's friend. I'd like to know, do you want to be God's best friend? So I want God to be my friend. I'm not talking about that. God is your friend. I'm talking about what kind of friend are you to God? Do you put God first before you put you? Do you make your decisions based on what God wants instead of what you want? That's what a true friend does. And so, you and I, we are to be a friend. We're not to spend our life looking for someone to be our friend. That's stingy. Say, well, where will I get my friends? God will provide your friends. And the problem is, some of you, you went looking for your own, and some of it, your choices, what's got you in most trouble of life. You should have been waiting for God to bring. You know, there are people in this room that maybe you did not reach out to a particular friend, but they have become your friend. You say, well, where did that come from? That came from God. There's some of you have some very spiritual, strong, loving people that would consider themselves a friend to you. You didn't necessarily try to merit that, but it came in your life. Where did it come from? God provided you with the friend. And you are to be seeking others that you can be a good friend to. And the qualifications of friendship is it's salvation and a lack of worldliness and a desire to obey the Bible and a self-control where one's emotions and anger and all of that's brought into restraint for the sake of the friendship and for the sake of God. And you and I are to be friends to God. Folks, I ought to point this out to you. I believe that being friendly and being a friend are not identical. I don't think they're equal. I think we're all to be friendly to people. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There the Bible tells us that we're to be kind to one another. Listen, I think within the church, we're to be kind to everyone. We're to be kind to everyone. When you meet people on the street, you're to be kind to them. I do not think God tells us to develop deep heartfelt friendships with everyone. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that friendship thing, that's reserved. You're to be very careful when you start becoming a deep friend with somebody. Now you're to be friendly to everyone. We're to be kind to everyone, but we're not to build deep spiritual relationships with just everyone. Some people need to have a chance to grow in the Lord. Some people need to get saved. Some people need to obey the Bible and get some of the rebellion out of their life before you become a deep, deep friend with them. You hate to say it, but it's true. It's my privilege of pastoring this church. A lot of good people here. May I recommend to everybody here that you're friendly to everybody here. But may I also recommend to everybody here that not everybody here would make you a good spiritual friend. You say, but it's the church. I realize that. But even in the church, there are people that are not interested in the Bible like they ought to be, and they're not living their life in such a way that's pleasing to God. You're to be kind to them. You're to be friendly toward them, but you just don't make people that don't love God your best friend. That's a very dangerous thing to do. The world, you know, there used to be, I don't know if it's still on, there used to be a show on television called Friends. You want to know something about it? When you take a good look at it, you got a bunch of people living together, living like animals. That's not what friendship is. That's not what biblical friendship is. Now, the world would like to believe that's friendship. I'm very sorry. That's not the friendship of God. The friendship of God and the friendship that is scriptural is pure, it's decent, it's kind, it's honest. It's interested in someone's morality, not their involvement in immorality. Friendship is to be a pure and a decent thing. Now, I've got to tell you this. One of the best things that you could do for a lost person is to give them the gospel. Matthew 11:19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, but behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, when Jesus was a friend to sinners, this does not mean that Jesus was spending a whole bunch of casual time with these people, just out running around and goofing off with them. No, he was giving them the gospel. Now, if you have people that you care about, the best thing you can do is show them salvation. Talk to them about being saved. That's the best thing you can do with those relationships that you have in life. Help them to understand salvation. And so, I'm to be a friend. And there are some qualifications to this thing of proper friendship. And I'm to be a friend to God. And I'm to be friendly to everyone, but I'm going to be best friends or have a deep friendship commitment with just a few, those that would love the Lord. And if I care about people, one of the friendliest things I could do is share the gospel with them. Let me tell you this. I believe that there are benefits to the right kind of friendship. For instance, Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, here the Bible said the right kind of friend, they're positive people. It's talking about sharpening the countenance. Did you know that if I'm your friend, I'm to make your attitude better? You're to get around me, and I am to make your attitude more spiritual. I'm to help you to look on the right side of things. Look, if you have a friend, and the two of you get together, and all you do is dice up everybody and gripe and complain, and they will, look, if I'm your friend, I'm going to encourage you to think right, think positive, think the way you're supposed to think. I'm not going to, look, if I'm your friend and you've got an attitude that's going in the ditch, I'll try to help you get it out of the ditch. I'm not going to agree with you. My job is to sharpen your countenance. Some of you really want to be a friend. You need to learn how to help your friend to look up and keep their eyes on Jesus and to be positive. Instead of all the negative, in Job chapter 42, verse number 10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now look, nothing like having praying friends. First of all, my friend ought to increase my spiritual attitude, not decrease it. And now I find out Job, he prayed. A true blue friend will pray. Brother Dave, let's turn this on if we could. You want to know if you really have a friend? Look up this way. Hey. Look this way. You want to know if somebody's really your friend? Why don't you find out if they pray for you? People talk prayer. They talk it. I've been around lots of Christians for a long time. People talk prayer because it sounds so spiritual. Makes them feel good that they can talk that they pray. You want to find out who your real friend is? You find out who prays for you. You find out who goes on their face before God for you. You teenagers, you say, we're friends! Phooey on friendship. It's all about shooting ball and playing with video games. And I'm not against shooting ball and playing video games. Now, if you ever shot ball like me, you'd be against it. But I'm going to tell you, Job's friends prayed for him. I'll tell you who you're going to want on your side when all hell cuts loose in your life, it's not going to be somebody that friended you on Facebook. You're going to want to meet somebody that knows how to get a hold of God, that can pray, somebody that's best friends with God. That's who you're going to need. The friendship, the real benefit of friendship, it's somebody that increases your attitude. A real friend, according to the Bible, is somebody that knows how to get a hold of God and can pray for you. A real friend is someone that will give you proper counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel is biblical counsel. You want right counsel, you get biblical counsel. You know, some of you, you'll have friends that you can talk to about certain things. They'll just agree with you. If you want your pastor as a friend, I won't agree with you all the time. There'll be times I'll say, knock it off, that's not right. You're not to be doing that right there. You say, but don't you want to make me feel good? No, I want to make you do right. That's what friendship is. Some of you young people, you're attracted to your buddies and your friends that are your age who are not telling you the difference between right and wrong, and you've distanced yourself from mom and dad, and it's mom and dad that are telling you the right thing. Mom and dad love you enough to give you biblical counsel to tell you what's right. And though you don't like it and it's a little hard on you, you better stop and realize who your real friends are. Your real friend is somebody that loves you enough to tell you the difference between right and wrong. Your real friend, look, I am willing to risk you liking me for me to get you close to God. And if you don't like me and I lose the opportunity to have you to like me, okay, I've got to get you close to God. I've got to tell you the difference between right and wrong, and that's what real friendship is. The Bible says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. A real friend will help you to become like Jesus. That's what they'll want for you. They won't want you to do your own thing. And you know, the friendship is a very valuable relationship. And it's a wonderful relationship. And I'm going to tell you again, whoever this fella is, and I'll let me look at his name again, Mr. William Scott Goldberg, that said he had 6,223 friends. I wonder, according to the Bible, how many of his 6,223 are friends. Probably zero. But it looks good on paper. Makes him feel good. Makes him feel popular. No, having one true blue spiritual friend can revolutionize your life. And so, I'm to be a friend. I can't make someone be mine, but I can be a friend. And there are qualifications. I need to be saved, and I need to find saved people, and not worldly people, and people want to obey the Word of God, and people that show an element of self-control. And I'm to be a friend of God. And I'm to be friendly to everybody, but best friends with very few. The best thing I could do in any relationship of life, if I want to be the right kind of a friend, I need to present the gospel to the lost. Now, what's the benefit? If I get the right kind of a friend, or if I'm the right kind of a friend, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to better their attitude, and I'm going to pray for them, or they for me, and they're going to give me biblical counsel. They'll tell me the difference between right and wrong, and I'm going to become more like Jesus because of them, not less. I wish I had time. I'm going to just cover a couple of things, and then I'm going to be done. You can tell if a friendship's not right. You say, why? Wrong friendship, there's going to be criticism and gossip that goes on. Proverbs 26:28 says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Talk about gossip, criticism. If the common denominator between you and someone is criticism, that's not real friendship. That's a very weak common denominator. It's a wicked common denominator. May I also say one of the signs of the wrong kind of a friendship, it's probably you get around your friend and you find yourself more depressed or negative. Remember, Proverbs 27:17 says, a real friend sharpens your countenance, not dulls your countenance. Some of you need to learn how to be a real friend, how to encourage people. Man, you ever get around somebody, every time you get around them, you're in worse shape than when they found you? That's not friendship. That's not what friendship is.
A real friend is someone, they won't entice you to do wrong according to Deuteronomy 13:6. May I say also, according to 2 Samuel 13:3, it says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And that story there is Jonadab, the so-called friend, encouraged Amnon to have a sexual relationship outside the confines of marriage. And let me make it clear to every young person in here. You're to have a physical relationship with somebody that you're married to. And you say, but he told me he was my friend. He's a liar. He's a liar. A physical relationship outside the confines of marriage, that's not friendship. You say, that's a little hard on me, Brother Owens, but I'm your friend. So I don't like you. I love you. I want to be a true blue friend to you. So you young people, prior to marriage, if you want to be a friend, he said, but if you love me, he said, if you love me, you'll let me. Then you say, if you love me, you'll wait. You'll wait. And if you're married, let me tell you something. You're to be a friend to your spouse. And you ought to make sure you're best friends with your husband or best friends with your wife. I was counseling years ago, and a man was having an adulterous relationship, and he said this to me. He said, the woman that I'm with, we are best friends. I said, you are not friends at all, according to the Scripture. You're living in adultery with someone that you're not married to. Don't you tell me that is friendship. That is not friendship. That is lust, but it cannot be friendship. God would not allow friendship with two people that are committing adultery. You got something other than that, something other than the Bible friendship going on. It's not real. I'm going to say this and I'll be finished. Friendship ought to be very powerful in your family. Husband and wives, you need to be best friends. Don't just be lovers. Be friends. Husbands and wives ought to be best friends. Mom and dad, let me tell you something. Let me help you with your teenager. They've got friends. You become a friend to your teenager too. Establish a friendship with your children. I know your mom. I know your dad. But let me tell you something. Do you understand how powerful friendships are in a teenager's life? Now, you could say, well, I'm their mom, I'm their dad, and I want you to be their mom and dad, but if you were smart, you become their friend somewhere along the way here. Hey, you say, I don't know how to compete with their friends. Become a better friend than their friends. There ought to be a friendship relationship between husbands and wives and moms and their children and dads and their children. This almost sounds like false doctrine, but you ought to have a friendship with your in-laws. That's enough of that. Let's move on to another point here. Hey, those of you that are brothers and sisters under the sound of my voice, you ought to be your brother's friend and you ought to be your sister's friend. Hey, brothers and sisters that made of the same blood, you ought to encourage one another to do right. And you ought to be a spiritual friend to your little brother and a spiritual friend to your sister and encourage them to do right and give them good counsel. You don't help them hide bad from mom and dad. If you really love your brother and you really love your sister, you'll encourage them to do right. That's what friends do. Thank God Jesus is a friend of sinners. I'm so glad that Jesus was my friend one day and he saved me. Do you know something, Brother Tom, that I learned about Jesus? He's always encouraged me to do right. I'm a better person because of him. He's encouraged me to obey the Scripture and do right and to think right and to act right. Anytime I get around him, Brother Pine, I'm better because I've been around him. That's what real friendship is. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is Jesus, but wait a minute. It is also a true blue Christian spiritual friend. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. We encourage you. We invite you to the Savior. He loves you. He will be your friend. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Who here would say, Pastor, I am saved. I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Just let him see it, that you're saved and you're not ashamed of it. God bless you. Now, folks, I've said some things, and I wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. As a friend, I was trying to tell you the truth. But I've told you about friendship today. Who here would say, Pastor, God has challenged my heart today about the friendships of my life. I've learned something. I think I've been challenged to be the right kind of a friend and to think properly about friendship. And Pastor, God has spoken to my heart about the subject of friendship today. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, lots of hands up already. You may put those hands down. I'm not saying that you ought to be mean or rude to anyone that you might call friend, but I am going to tell you this. There's some of you need to live your life spiritually with friendship being done God's way, not man's way. 6,300 and whatever so-called friends on Facebook, that's not what reality is, and that's not what scriptural friendship is. You learn today what the Bible says about friendship. Let's live our life in such a way that we do right by friends. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. When she does, we're all going to stand. I think there are people here that need to get on your knees for a moment and just say, God, help me. Some of you have some real, true blue spiritual friends. Maybe you ought to come down here and thank God for them. Some of you are not being the right kind of a friend right now. Maybe you need to come down here and get on your knees and say, God, I need to get something straightened out. There's some of you, you have some friends that you should not be around. I'm not saying that you need to trash them, but I do think you need to slowly but surely separate and get things straightened out before you destroy yourself and them. You might need the altar. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. There are teenagers that ought to come to this altar. There are adults that ought to come to this altar. There are some people that ought to come down here and say, God, help me. I need to be the right kind of a friend. Are people more spiritual after having been around you or less? Are people more committed to God after being around you or less? Young people, there are teenagers that come to our youth department that you ought to be friendly to, you ought to be kind to, but you shouldn't be best friends with them. They're not committed to God. Be friendly, be kind, but not best friends. Friendship. It's Friend and Neighbor Day. Friend and Neighbor Day. Let's be the right kind of friend. Let's be the right kind of neighbor. Someone said, friends don't let friends drink and drive. Okay, I'm good with that. Friends also don't want friends to be immoral, and friends don't want friends to be doing drugs, and friends don't want friends to be gossips and critics, and friends don't want friends to lie to their mom and dad, and friends don't want friends to do wrong. If you're a true friend to someone, you're going to do right. You're going to want them to do right. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. Just a few more minutes. This will be the last time through the song, and in a moment, we'll head out. Be a friend to God, not just another casual friend. Why don't somebody decide to be God's best friend?